Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I do a lot of strategic planning and coaching with business owners and their staff, and generally, they all want something very same, usually to grow their business or decrease costs or increase performances, those kind of things. But there are lots of complexities when you're looking at this, and there's a lot of issues around how you go about achieving them, and every business is unique. And there are times when those things are mutually exclusive. So you have to pick and choose the path that is right for your business based on your strategic analysis, solid management, and the discipline to implement your plans. I often see a real lack of understanding of those key principles. People saying they need to be more strategic and focused, but yet not understanding what it means. And sometimes what happens is the silver ball of opportunity presents itself and they go in a new direction. And that creates its own challenges for small to medium-sized businesses. And it's very, very common, especially when you're being squeezed on price and product quality and services. Often the decision you make, makes a difference between keeping the lights on or being in the dark, if you know what I mean. So you do the best with what you have in a certain point in time and what you do know. And maybe, just maybe, you grow your business. Maybe it's through acquisition, expansion, or a shift in services and markets. There are all sorts of possibilities. But I do know this. When it comes down to strategic planning, it's usually based in solid business analysis in some way. You know, sometimes it's a gut reaction, no doubt, right? But at some point, you got to figure stuff out. So when things are changing so rapidly, you know, you need to plan for the future, but yet deal with today. And I think that's what business analysis tries to do. And that's what strategic planning tries to do in today's world. That means you need to set a course of action so that you can implement a short period or a short time period, your plan, but yet keep your focus on the long game, so you can make a difference in your business. So consider using a roadmap to get you where you need to go, to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves to you and that align with the things that you want to achieve. And I suspect my next guest maybe knows a little bit about that, even though I do call him the unlikely entrepreneur. He's going to slap me here for a second for that. But I do consider him a business friend, Stuart Clausen, Morfit Training Center. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard.
Always fun having you on here.
Second time's
a charm. Is that it?
That's right.
You know, well, you've had a lot of stuff change in your business over the course of the last time you were on, but I don't quite want to talk about that just yet. I think it's always important that we make a connection with the audience and that. And I don't expect everybody to know who you are. So who's Stuart? Well, the big question, who am I?
I'm just another man, Richard.
Just another man. Well, that's good. That's good. But tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. The reason I'm on the show here is to speak on behalf of Morfit Training Center.
Sure.
So it's a fitness facility. We now have two of them. I let out the surprise out of the box.
Yeah, you did. I wanted to talk a little bit further about that, but yeah. You know. But let's go back up a little bit. I mean, okay. I know you are the owner of Morfit Fitness Centers. Did I get that right?
Morfit Training Center.
Training Center, yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you for correcting me. But you got into the whole business ownership. I want to back up a little bit for our listeners because you are educated in fitness. Tell me a little bit about your education. Rather than me fill in the blanks, tell me a little bit about your background.
Sounds good. So, after graduating from high school, I went into university. I was a UAW grad, took an exercise science degree. So 4 years in university, kind of learning about the human body, physiology, biomechanics, exercise, all that sort of fun stuff that kind of has made me tick since I got started around 2000 and 2002.
Were you always in the fitness? Like before you graduated high school, were you always on in the sports and stuff like this? Like what's your whole fitness background prior to that?
Yeah, it's always been fairly recreational in nature, but always involved in sports. One of the saddest times of my life was right when we turned 18 and all the friends kind of decided let's put the balls away and now that we can drink, we can head over to the bars.
Right? And go see the bands.
That's right. So, always been fairly heavily involved in sports. And I thought that, if I could pursue a career, you know, around that sort of industry, then I think that would bring a lot of happiness to my life. So,
So that's what I was looking for, because you were looking for a lot of happiness in your life initially. So that's actually pretty cool. A lot of people haven't figured that one out, right? So you graduated university and you started to work in the fitness industry. Did you work for somebody else or did you start working for yourself right away?
After graduating with the Bachelor of Exercise Science,
yeah.
I worked for it was a small gym on Portage Avenue called Core Training and Therapy. They're not there anymore. They shut down a couple years ago. But that was my first exposure to personal training and working in a fitness facility. And yeah. I was there for about a year and a half before starting More Fit Training.
Yeah, but you started More Fit Training like a sort of more of an outside boot camp thing.
That's right. Yeah, I wanted an opportunity to run classes, work with more people, maybe get out into, work out in the sun as opposed to stuck inside a facility.
Yeah.
So I decided to open up a sole proprietorship initially. We didn't incorporate right away. And the classes were run out of the Forks. That was our first location for first summer or two. And then we moved over to Coronation Park once we knew where we were going to open up our first fitness facility.
Where's Coronation Park?
It's at the corner of Taché and Eugenie and St. Mary's. It makes kind of a triangle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice little place.
Sort of nice little place in there. And that sort of, so this is why I call you the unlikely entrepreneur, right? And I like to joke with you about it, Stu. And, you know, off the air, by the way, Stu and I have been joking about this a little bit. So was that really when you started More Fit as a physical location? Like when I talk about physical, I'm talking about like bricks and mortar business as opposed to out in the park.
Right, right. So after running the in the park thing for a couple seasons, and we had to shut it down in the winter time because
it's
not going to be
freezing out.
Well, there's some people out there who would be happy to do it, but maybe not enough to
keep
the business going. So, so I was looking for an indoor location. Initially, wanted just kind of a small studio, maybe 1,000 square feet that we could rent and just continue with the classes. And it's been funny ever since I first started More Fit and up to this newest opportunity of opening our second location.
Yeah.
I've just been sort of fortunate to stumble upon some great opportunities. And even though I had no necessarily any intention of opening an entire fitness facility, a few different events led to an opportunity to do so. And so in 2010, we opened up our 6,000 square foot facility on Taché.
Yeah.
And it's been just over 5.5 years now.
So I mean, there's a big distinction between 1,000 square feet and 6.5.
Well, exactly. Yeah, yeah, that was way outside of sort of the scope of what I was even considering.
And maybe even your comfort zone at the time?
Oh, yeah, comfort zone. I don't know. I'm not sure where comfort zones are anymore. I guess once you put yourself in a state of being uncomfortable or sort of not knowing what's coming up, then, you know, the comfort is less of a concern, I guess.
It expands.
That's
those
right.
Boundaries expand.
Yep.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk about some of these issues because I think it's important as an entrepreneur to talk about comfort zones and uncomfort zones and then just how things sort of organically progress for you in business and the challenges that you've had.
Sounds good.
Now, this is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Stuart Claussen. Stuart is owner of More Fit. We were having a great conversation basically on developing a business and where he went from like 1,000 square foot plan to 6,000 square foot plan.
That's right.
Real quickly and sort of getting beyond the sort of comfort zones. One of the things I thought about we talked about during the break actually, was business skills because you came out of school really being an expert in fitness.
Exercise. That's all
right?
I knew, yeah.
Yeah, that's all you knew. So that really goes to the heart of, you know, in terms of what did you discover in terms of the type of business skills you've had to develop over, say, since 2010, these last 7 years, just even with just having one location.
Right. Well, it's definitely kept me busy.
Yeah.
And very intrigued and interested in the process as well. So not having any background in commerce or business or marketing or anything like that, staff management, all those skills that any business owner is going to learn either on the fly or get some kind of training or education in prior to, those were all skills that had to be learned. And I did the on-the-fly sort of approach. So there were some great workshops through Manitoba Business Start that were offered. And so I took advantage of those when we first got started. But we kept most things in-house. So like all of our, payroll management, all that sort of stuff we've just sort of done in-house initially. Those were skills that I took on myself and then eventually brought some of the staff up into taking on some of that responsibility as well. But it's pretty interesting to see how you as an entrepreneur kind of grow, and especially when you have staff around you, because now you're managing staff and you're going to get that feedback from them, whether it's positive or negative, or, you know, do you have a really high turnover of staff, or are you retaining staff? And this can give a lot of feedback to you about not only how you are as a business owner, but maybe as an individual working within that business. And so it's been almost like holding a mirror up to yourself that you're forced to look at. You know, you can kind of walk around and ignore some of those signs that, you know, of maybe your personality that you don't want to acknowledge out in the real world that you can just walk away from. But when it's a business, you can't just walk away.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty cool. I think I've learned a lot about, you know, who I am as a person, and my staff have either liked it or not liked it. And you know, if they like it, they stay on board. The nice thing is we have had a really strong staff retention over the years. We still have a couple staff that have been with us since the start.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that speaks a lot to
what you've been doing.
To what we've been doing.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, when we talk about staff, let's throw some numbers here. Roughly how many people work for you? Or for Morfit,
yes,
that way.
Up until the second location opening, we were generally floating around 9 to 11 employees.
Right, nice small business.
Business. Only myself and one other employee are full time.
Yeah.
And salary. The rest are mostly part time, and some of them will teach classes. Some of them will do personal training outside of, you know, the desk hours, and some. We also have a fair amount of independent contractors who do work out of the gym. So it's a fairly large workforce in that regard for the space that we have. But in terms of employed staff, usually between 9 and 12, I think we're up to about 15 now with the second location.
But let's expand a little bit further, because I like to think in terms of, if you have contracted staff, they're actually part of your number when you look at your expansion, right? So if you got 9 to 12, if you add in all your subcontractors that use the space, right, and come in and deliver courses and everything, what would that bring your number up to?
That would probably sit us around 30. Yeah. Around 30 or so.
Yeah, because that means you've got that many resources, people resources, coming in out of your locations on a regular basis.
Right.
Yeah, so right. So that's a lot to manage.
Well, it can be, and I think the more you try to manage it, the more you try to control what's going on in the space, then that's when things get, I think, a little more overwhelming may take its toll. But I've always approached managing the business from a very standoffish approach and sort of let things be. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who would shake their heads.
They're shaking
me.
Their heads right now. Yeah,
that's no way to run a business. It's funny. I sometimes joke that I'm happy as long as I can continue running my business without ever having had to fire somebody, and I'm still at that point.
Yeah, okay.
And lots of people that I've talked to said, if you haven't fired anyone yet, you're not running your business properly. And
it's really?
Well,
really?
I don't have to worry about that on my conscience. So,
Or either that, you've attracted the right people and you've managed to retain the right people.
Right.
Because, I'm going to guess, and you tell me, in the subcontracting side of things, people come and go.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right? So there's natural succession there. Right.
Very much so. Yes.
Yeah. And so then it really comes down to your core people, your operational people, your day to day, that are more either full time or part time on your payroll.
Right.
Right. Or have you managed to maintain those consistently? That's the question.
Yeah, fairly consistently. A lot of them will move on to bigger and better things, or, you know, different career paths, that sort of thing. Sometimes it's just a natural sort of, if it doesn't seem to be the right fit, you know, maybe start working less hours and then move on as they find something different. But, for the most part, I see business pretty well as a family, and, you know, just cause you got one brother or sister out there who's always nagging or breaking stuff, you don't kick him out of the house, right?
It's okay.
You learn to live with the people in your family.
Okay. And that's actually pretty interesting philosophy.
Sort of respect them, and you get that respect back, and that goes a long way.
Okay.
And eventually they'll probably grow out of that phase, and then they'll be, you know, that brother or sister may support you in a time of need down the road. So
yeah, you just never know. Loyalty can pay dividends.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's actually pretty an interesting philosophy when you come down to it. I don't remember now if it was this segment or the first segment, but a very organic approach to your business growth and development from a people perspective.
It's all I know.
It's all you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. Stu, we got to take a short break.
Okay.
But you know what? We're going to be right back. I think you have an absolutely fascinating story in terms of how you actually developed your business. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the things you've been doing. This is Richard Land. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Stuart Clausen. Stuart is the owner of More Fit. And just before the break, we were talking a little bit about, I guess, more of an organic approach in terms of staff and maintaining staff. And then sort of, I love the family analogy that you used, you know, just because a brother might be a bit of a bad egg. That's my word, not yours. You don't kick him out of the family, right? It does create an interesting question, though, right? Because as you've been growing your business since 2010, so that's not a long time. That's, what, 7 years right now, right? You know, what are some of the challenges that, you've had? And what are some of the additional challenges that you've had?
Yeah, well, there are definitely challenges along the way. I think probably the one that has maybe haunted me the most is a challenge that I've always brought upon myself, and that is coming from a place where I don't want to necessarily feel like I'm overburdening or asking too much of other people. So I take on a lot of not only the necessary but maybe the unnecessary work on my own shoulders, and so delegation of work is probably an area where I definitely needed the most encouragement to get into or move past, and not sort of use the resources around me, because a lot of times, you know, the staff are, they're sitting around, they're looking for something to do, and I'm running off trying to do 10 things at once. Here's your list of things to do for the day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's definitely been, I think, an ongoing challenge for myself. And the nice thing about a second location is I haven't found out how to clone myself to be in two places at once.
Yes.
So now there's no option. And that's actually, I've been forced to be much more diligent at, you know, to-do lists and delegating work and just passing sort of that responsibility on to other people.
Yeah, especially if that's not sort of your natural tendency. Well, because what you're telling me is not your natural tendency to be a delegator. And it's not for a lot of people.
Right.
It's very common.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's part of it too, is just sort of, you know, liking things to be done a certain way.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's some of that.
There's my way or in somebody else's way, and I sort of like it this way.
right. And if I'm going to be going back and doing it anyways, then, you know, I'll do it the first time. But I'm learning, yeah. I'm getting better at that as well, and just sort of letting things be. And
Okay, you know what? A lot of people are like that. That's a very common situation for a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of professionals, actually, and just new managers even, too, because they've graduated from a situation where they were doing the work, and now suddenly they've got other people doing the work for them, and they've never quite released themselves from the work.
Right.
Would you sort of say that that's what you've experienced?
Yeah. Yes, I would say that's
so accurate. So what have you been doing to learn the delegation skills?
I think a lot of that is being confident with the team that you have created.
Yeah.
And so I've been very fortunate in that regard. I do have a great team with us at More Fit. One individual specifically, Tom, he's sort of taken on that role of, you know, if I'm not there, then, you know, he can handle anything that gets thrown at the business. And so, I'm not sure where I'd be without him. I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be off doing 12 other things probably.
Yeah.
So I think that was key is the team, and, you know, having confidence in that team. And I think, like I said earlier, just sort of letting go of the fact that, you know, you can't run every aspect of your business, and no one's going to do the things the way that you do them. So accepting the fact, you know, up front that not everything is going to be done necessarily the way you want it done in your business.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the sooner that I realized that or was able to accept that, you know, that took a lot off of the shoulders in terms of that stress and just the responsibility of I have to do it all.
Yeah,
so
that's fair enough, right? I mean, I think that's a really good lesson learned for everybody, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to delegation. So kudos to you. I'm curious about other challenges as a small business owner that you've had. So because you started off, you know, quite interestingly with sort of a park business, I'm going to call it that. I'll change my words if you want, but I see this guy outside running these courses. and suddenly, you know, brick and mortars, right? But you've grown that first business before we get into second location. But what have been some of the challenges to move it from day one, assuming membership driven, you tell me, and then getting it up to the point where it becomes profitable so that you could have other options?
Yeah, I would say some of the, a couple of the other big challenges there would be the marketing piece. And that's definitely a piece that I am A, not a fan of, and B, not very good at.
When you say marketing, do you mean sales or do you mean like marketing, like graphics and that whole plan? Like,
yes,
what do you mean by marketing?
Bringing in or bringing exposure to the business,
okay,
right? So whether that be through social media, whether it be through printed advertising, that type of thing, getting people to know about the business. In terms of marketing sales-wise, I'm very comfortable with our sales approach, which is very much a, you know, never sell anything that we don't feel our members are either both in need of and interested in actually purchasing. So okay, no pressure sales, anything like that. And that's how I'm very comfortable running the business. But yeah,
so that's a culture. That's a sort of a culture thing you created for
right.
yourself.
Yeah. It's more the getting the word out there piece that's never been an interest, a part of the business that's interested me. And so that's always been an area that I've struggled with. And I've gone through, I've had a couple people have helped us with that. And I think I just need to keep putting that in other people's sort of plates because it doesn't fit well on my plate.
It doesn't fit well on your plate. Yeah. When you say that, okay, so then that's the whole marketing piece. So what are kind of things that you put in play to help gain the exposure? Like you had to start off gaining exposure,
right,
and now let's say you've got exposure. So
right,
what has that journey been like?
I think a lot of that has come down to getting sort of outside advice from people in terms of what would be the best approach for this. So social media, as an example, is a very powerful engine that
small businesses, yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's not something that I'm strong at, and so my business partner in our other business, DJ, he's very strong with social media, and so getting somebody who knows the ins and outs of a certain vehicle for marketing or bringing exposure to the gym, just taking advantage of that, and then I think, you know, where we got a lot of our traction in the business is from just the tried and tested word of mouth, right? So you run a service, offer a product that your clients, your members, or your customers appreciate, and that will start to get the ball rolling, and they'll tell their friends, bring it. It's tried and tested, because that if you don't have positive word of mouth behind your business, then it's like probably an uphill battle. And we've always had a fairly positive word of mouth pushing us forward. So
I would think that gyms, right, or fitness facilities, so let's put it that way, instead of just gyms, fitness facilities, mm-hmm, attract a certain type of clientele. In terms of your first location, who do you generally attract to that location? It's like a demographic question.
Yeah, it's quite a range. I think a lot of people, when they think of gyms, and I'll go back to that word. When a lot of people think of gyms, they're thinking of, heavyweights, big bodies, lots of sweat, lots of grunting, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think what you'll find when you come to Morphit is typically the demographics fall oftentimes anywhere outside of that typical association with what you would see in a gym. We have lots of people who train bodybuilding, lots of people who train for powerlifting competitions and that sort of thing. But the people who fall outside of that category, if you will, you're going to find them at Morphit. So the average age is probably somewhere in the mid 40s, but it spans from the 20s all the way up into the 60s, 70s. Pretty even split, male to female. Classes are a little more female dominant, but it's quite a bit all over the map.
It's a bit balanced, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about expansion.
Okay.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Stu Claussen, Stuart Claussen. I don't know if you prefer Stu or Stuart. You didn't correct me.
No correction needed.
No correction needed. And basically, more fit training. Get it right this time. Yeah, just making sure, right? Stu, I mean, fascinating challenge you've been having. So things that you're doing and everything. But as you mentioned earlier in the show, you expanded your business. And this is what really got me to give you a call and say, hey, come on, come back on the show, because I'm always interested in that thing. You've grown your business to a certain point. Now you decide to expand. Like, what's up, bro? Explain.
I don't even know what's up, Richard. There was a second location wasn't really on the radar.
It didn't sound to me like it was the last time I chatted with you. So where'd that come from?
Again, just sort of a series of opportunities that that I looked into and recognized that there's going to be some risk and a lot of time and a lot of money that's going to have to go into it. But it felt like the right thing to do.
Felt like the right thing to do.
Or right? I shouldn't say, felt like something to do.
It felt like something to do. Okay.
Yeah. So a small little background. So it is in a city place. It's downtown.
Yeah.
The location we're in has been a gym for a couple decades already.
Okay. So it's a known location.
It is a known location. Yeah. And it's mostly a lot of the employees who work in the businesses in the area that went to the gym. So quite different from our current location. It's very heavily focused on lunch hour programming.
Traffic,
lots of lunch hour classes and people working out during the day. So there's a difference there, a large difference between both locations. That's been an interesting change for us. You know, everyone's in and out a lot quicker than our other location. Classes are shorter, that sort of thing. It's been a gym for 20 years. And so I got word that they were looking to have somebody come in and potentially take over the space and run it independently. So I got a little more information and it seemed like it would fit within our realm of possibility.
Okay. When you took it over, sort of like, did you take it over like more like from a turnkey perspective? Like everything was there, like everything you needed was there.
A fair amount, yeah. We most of our changes were cosmetic, so all changed out most of the flooring and paint and that sort of thing. Updated some of the equipment and rearranged things, but it wasn't the same type of project that we had to do for the first facility.
Well, because the first facility, you had to get a company right off the ground.
It was it was four brick walls and put what we want inside of it. So, and that's why something like a second location wasn't on our radar, because there's no way we're in a position to take on a project like that again. But being a little bit more of a turnkey solution gave us an opportunity to, okay, well, let's see if we can make this work.
Yeah. So obviously you leverage your present location to open the second location in business.
Yes.
So there's a lot of consideration in terms of how you've done financially in your first location.
And it's we've been doing well.
I know.
We've been doing well.
Okay for yourself.
I think we don't do a lot we've been over 5 years.
Yeah.
And so it's been successful in that regard that, you know, we're staying afloat, we're growing a little bit of a cash flow, and that's allowed us to take on some of these other opportunities as opposed to, you know, flying down to the Caribbean or something like that every 6 months. So,
yeah, I often get the impression that certain things like that are not as, flying to the Caribbean is not as important to you, maybe periodically, but than other things in life. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in your customer set and your demographic from your location in St. Boniface, is it? St. Boniface, right?
St. Boniface, yeah.
And then versus the downtown. How would you describe the distinction between those two? Maybe you already have.
Yeah, well, the St. B, we kind of talked about that demographic earlier, but downtown's a lot more the working population. So now we're getting closer to, you know, average age being in sort of early 30s to mid 40s.
Right in the middle of their careers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And we're still learning because, we've only been open 3 weeks. So every day we get more and more members coming back to sign up, and a lot of them are on vacation right now.
Okay.
So, you know, in a few months, we'll have a better sense of what we're looking at demographic-wise, but that would seem to make the most sense, and from what we've heard.
So is programming from the two locations, will that stay consistent between the two locations?
Yeah, we're trying to, we revamped kind of our pricing system and everything else. We actually made a lot of things cheaper classes-wise compared to what it was before, just to make sure that it's on par both locations. And trying to, you know, we're, if you have membership at one gym, you can go to the other gym. That's kind of open access in that regard. So it's easier for us and easier for the members if we keep things consistent.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. This is an exciting time for you.
There's a lot going on, yeah.
One of the conversations that you and I have had periodically, and I haven't brought it up on the show, is what is success? So I'm curious as to how you actually define success.
Yeah. Well,
now you're on the spot.
I'm not sure how I'll do necessarily with a definition. I know what success is not to me.
Yeah.
I think I'm still learning, you know, what it is. And I think what I am learning is that exactly what we're doing right here, you know, me sitting in front of you or having a conversation, learning how to be fully immersed in this time together.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of somebody else and not letting our thoughts trail off to anything outside of this conversation. If we can get ourselves to that point in all of our interactions with all of our relationships and the people that we deal with, I think that's probably a good step forward. How is a gym going to do that for me? Well, I guess I don't necessarily see success in life as being tied to what I do professionally.
Okay.
And I think that success in life probably lays... is independent of what we do, either professionally or, you know, what we choose to do with our life and our day. It's something that is there all the time. And I guess I'm still learning what that is.
So okay, so trying to figure it out a little bit, eh?
A cryptic answer, I guess.
A cryptic answer. Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times when you talk about success in business, people might say profit or whatever. But as you and I were talking about during a break, I said, well, I have a CEO friend of mine who success in business for him is buying houses for people.
Right.
Like, seriously, what he does, right? And, yeah. and people in need and stuff like this. And it's a means to an end. It's not an end in itself, right? So
that was a great story. And that's a great example of where, you know, being financially successful allows you to do a lot of great things for other people.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, you know, for myself anyways, I got to try to find ways to do good things for other people that don't require money because I don't have that initial financial motivation.
Well,
so,
yes, but yeah, it just comes to you. It'll come to you over time. You, as you grow your success, you'll have abundance will be bestowed upon you, young man.
And then it will be passed on from my hands very quickly.
There you go. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could give us a call at 204-421-0021. That is to our St. Boniface location. If anyone wants to come check out our new gym downtown, we're at 234 Donald Street in City Place.
Yeah.
Up on the second floor, make your way to the food court and then take a sharp left before the fries and everything else gets a hold of you.
Before you stop for the snack that you got to go burn off at the gym.
That's right, yeah.
What a show we've been having. Stuart, I've always enjoyed having you on the show. I mean, it's just great chatting with you. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Well, I think it's kind of tying into what we talked about very briefly there. I would encourage everyone to, the next time they're having a conversation with somebody, try to just fully immerse yourself in that conversation. And don't let your thoughts stray elsewhere about the things that you got to do for the rest of the day or the things that didn't get done. And just try and enjoy that conversation.
Wow. And this is from an extremely busy guy. I appreciate that. That's a good note. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. And Stuart, I want to thank you for being on the show. You're always a pleasure to have on. Also, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. If you have an idea on the show, a thought, a question, maybe an idea for a guest, or maybe a different spin we could have taken. We could have talked about fitness or anything else. I'm sure Stuart would be glad to come back and talk about keeping people healthy. Just send me a note at richard@setforsuccess.ca. That's richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.